Last week, we looked at Rahab, a mother in Israel, once again. And we'll continue this week, and I doubt we'll finish this week. I think there's a great lesson to learn from the example of Rahab. The greatest is the grace and mercy of God, and that God can use all sorts of folks, and that we ought to seek and be willing to be used of Him as He determines. And we saw that Rahab, a pagan, a harlot, was used of the Lord. That the Lord opened her eyes and she realized her state, her need. She realized and recognized the people of God. And when the time came, she stood up and took her stand for those things, even when it could be something that could be a great cost unto her. And we see that by the grace of God, Rahab was made to be a believer. Paul told us over in Hebrews 11, verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. God gave her peace. God gave her faith. Human faith cannot accomplish those things. It's the faith of Christ, and that's the only faith that prevails. And because she had received that faith of Christ, because God had opened her eyes and her heart, it was manifested in her actions. It was shown outwardly, that outward justification, which in our own eyes and before the world. By actions, by deeds. James writes in his epistle in James 2 and verse 24, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." If the faith that you have doesn't bring forth works to the glory of God, there's reason to believe that it's not genuine faith. But the Lord brought these things forth from Rahab. And again, just to recount, we're justified before God from eternity, from the time we were in Jesus Christ. In time, He gives us the gift of faith as He opens our eyes and opens our hearts. And we're justified internally. And that justification is made manifest to the world by the works, by the deeds that God brings forth. Those cannot be accomplished in our own behalf either. But how else would she have manifested her devotion to Jehovah but by standing with His people? And even though it entailed standing against her own government and her own people, God had already done that inward work in her heart, and it was demonstrated by her courageous actions concerning the spies. It's interesting that some today would even disparage her actions, though the Bible and the Scriptures never do that. And we should learn from that. We'll just look at a couple other biblical examples. Some of them I mentioned last week, of standing for God of standing against evil, and those things, like some accuse Rahab of being a liar, that she deceives the enemies of God does not make her a liar. And we'll look at a couple examples to point that out. Remember, in the Old Testament, Elisha, an Assyrian army detachment invaded Israel to capture Elisha. And we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 18, "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man ye seek. But he led them to Samaria." Was that deception? Was that deceiving the enemy? Was that deceiving those who not only hated God, but hated his people? And was that what he was called to do? Is that what God led him to do? Verse 20 continues on there in 2 Kings. "And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria." God uses his people, uses his means to bring great deceptions upon the enemy. That does not mean that those whom he has so used are somehow rendered then liars and sinners. Consider as well the Egyptian midwives. When they were called upon Pharaoh, to ensure the death of the Hebrew children. And were these Egyptian midwives obligated to tell the truth to the murderer Pharaoh? Exodus 1 and verse 16 we read, "And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon their stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him." Pharaoh speaking to the midwives. Does it remind you of anything that goes on today? The vast murder of the unborn here in America. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew, you know, midwives are supposed to be healers, they're supposed to be helpers. Kind of like doctors. And doctors have become executioners. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon their stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. There was a greater person to answer to. There was a greater power. God gave them this degree of understanding. How much more exactly, I don't know. But these midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. Well, you're supposed to obey the government no matter what they tell you, right? That's what many of these folks would lead us to believe today. But these midwives knew better. They knew there was a higher power to answer to. And the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. And from the context, it's obvious that that isn't exactly what happened. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. A murderer like Pharaoh does not have the right to be told the truth in pursuit of his crime. We have no obligation to assist wicked men in their evil deeds. I want us to understand as well, we're not talking about situational ethics here. Morals are not relative. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Murder is murder and evil and wicked, and you have no obligation to assist the murderer in his deeds. A murderer, even in your own case, say as the head of a household, is not owed any measure of truth or direction. Lying to those who are pursuing a crime, deceiving them, misleading them, is not wickedness. I don't know that it's proper to call such a thing lying, but misleading such is not bearing, quote, false witness. And those such are not truly your neighbors. Exodus tells us, Exodus 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. None of this gives us an excuse to lie when we think it's convenient or to benefit ourselves. But the ninth commandment requires us to speak truth to those who deserve it. We are to speak truth to lawfully constituted authority, which there's very scarce little of that today. The wicked government of America can hardly be looked upon as a legitimate authority. But we're to bear truth to lawfully constituted authority, to lawfully constituted courts of law. Certainly we have an absolute obligation to bear truth to our spouse. We have an absolute obligation to bear truth to our Christian brethren and those others whom we voluntarily associate ourselves with. I think even of some like my brethren in the Liberty Movement or the Southern Movement or Free Florida First that may not be of like faith and practice, but they're my brethren. They're folks that I've voluntarily associated with. And they're owed absolute truth. But you can see throughout Scripture that we're not obligated to be, quote, truthful with alien invaders. We're not like the Syrians. We're not obligated to be absolutely truthful with tyrannical governments like those in Jericho and those in Egypt. And those in Babylon on the Potomac that we call D.C. We're not obligated to be absolutely truthful, to use that phrase, with criminals. And it's clear from the scriptures it was faith that brought Rahab to deceive the king of Jericho. It was faith that led the midwives to mislead Pharaoh. It wasn't to their own benefit. It wasn't the easy route. It would have been much easier. It would have been much less risky for Rahab and for the midwives to tell these wicked men what they wanted to know, to do what these wicked men had impelled them to do. But they were right in standing against these things, and we need to be prepared and ready and willing to stand against evil in our day. Back to the story of Rahab, and we'll look at another incident here and probably pick up later. But Rahab, concerning the Hebrew spies in verse 6, back in Joshua 2. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued them were gone out, they shut the gate. An interesting note here, and we'll elaborate on it just a little bit concerning Rahab. In addition to running a hotel, if you will, and a house of ill repute, she evidently was as well perhaps a producer of linen. That's what the flax is used for. Here she's on her roof. She's laying this out. She was an industrious person. And it just brings to mind another such one that we read of in the New Testament, a woman by the name of Lydia. The scripture tells us that she was a seller of purple. We meet her in the book of Acts, and she is recorded as the first convert to Christianity under the ministry of Paul. In Acts 16 and verse 14, we see a very similar circumstance here. Perhaps Lydia wasn't involved in all the wickedness that Rahab had previously been involved in, but she was still a sinner in need of grace. In Acts 16 and verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And they constrained us. Lydia was a convert because God opened her heart. Not because of some magic words of Paul, though he certainly proclaimed the gospel. But until the Lord opened her heart, those things would have been but foolishness and a stumbling stone. But God opened her heart. And such was the case of Rahab as well, that opened her heart and opened her eyes and brought them to understand who they deal with and who he was. I'll go on a little bit in verse 8, back in Joshua 2. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, listen here, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Well, how did she know that? Because the Lord opened her heart. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and when ye did unto the two kings of the what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Listen to what this former harlot, pagan. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This God had revealed Himself to her. No man would have come to those conclusions on his own. No woman. The Lord talking to Peter and said, who do folks say that I am? He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to thee, but my Father in heaven. God had already done a work in Rahab's heart. She knew that Jehovah look there in your King James Bible, and Lord in all caps. That's the Hebrew word Jehovah. Not some generic God. But Jehovah! The only true God. And she knew that Jehovah had given the land to them and that it would certainly be accomplished. She knew of Jehovah's previous works and miracles. She realized that God's work and God's will would be accomplished. She was what I sometimes say, a hard shell. She knew that what God determined He would accomplish and it would be done. She acknowledged that Jehovah was the true God in heaven and upon the earth. And no one can truly do that until the Lord's revealed Himself to them. And she, no doubt, at this time, as the Lord brought this opportunity, He brought the circumstances to bear. She felt the call and the guidance of God in her dealings with these men. Things don't just happen. They seem that way from our perspective. But the Lord brought these men there. And the Lord gave her a special task and obligation. And truly, truly amazing to hear this testimony from Rahab. A testimony that's only possible by the grace of God. And the Lord gives such a testimony to all His elect. He brings them to see who He is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter could say. He brings them to see and to embrace the gospel of their salvation. And thus it was with Rahab, and thus it was with Lydia, and thus it is with all true children of God. And it's all by the grace of God. And then God uses those to His glory, as He specially used Rahab in the instance here with the spies. And we'll look a little bit more at this next week and maybe wrap it up. By the grace of God, we'll take our hymnal and turn to page number 9. Rahab had seen that rock that was higher than her. Let's stand and sing number 9. The rock that is higher than I. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great and sovereign God that you are. And Lord, that you're pleased to reveal these things to your people. Even as you did to Rahab. As by your grace, she was able to trust, to have confidence. By your grace, she was able to do not the convenient thing, but the hard thing, the difficult thing, the thing that in man's eyes would have been dangerous and troublesome. Father, we can't fully comprehend your grace, but we thank you, Lord, that you make us the recipients of it. Lord, we thank you that you bring us to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, we thank you that you reveal yourself to your people. And Lord, by your grace, we pray that we might be that people that you can use to your glory, to your honor, to bring forth those things that you've before determined to be done. And we thank you for that privilege. Father, we thank you for the services today, for everyone that's here. Thank you for my wife and her encouragement and help and faithfulness through the years. Lord, we thank you for our brother Hal. We pray you keep your hand on him as he travels home today. Lord, for the other friends that you've given us, for your other churches, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Lord, be with us as we go our way. Use us to your glory. Glorify yourself and your people. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.